vet voice. A question of intervention. Would a great article by Alan W. Dowd, January, explaining the history of U.S. humanitarian support around the world. This should be required reading for all high school students and everyone in America between 18 and 40. Some would say the world is an ugly place today, but I say it would be much worse if not for the United States of America. We cannot control everything bad that happens in the world, but we sure can help when it does. Richard Michelson, Jacksonville, Florida. Alan W. Dowd's advocacy for U.S. humanitarian military intervention left out three important elements: taxpayers, the national debt, and most important, the loss of American lives. Do we want to continue saddling Americans with a ballooning national debt while spilling American blood in trying to further some lofty humanitarian goal that often turns out the opposite of what we intended? John Dellinger, Aurora, Colorado. I would have liked a little more separation in Alan W. Dowd's writing in regard to military intervention compared to humanitarian intervention, especially in reference to having Congress involved. Yes, the president's priorities should be defense of the homeland, defense of U.S. citizens overseas, and lastly, protection, when warranted, of U.S. interests overseas. The War Powers Act gives the president authority to intervene militarily overseas, but after 30 days, he goes to Congress to keep funding the operation. As to humanitarian operations, the U.S. Armed Forces are the only means to swiftly react to situations to help save lives and lessen suffering. If Dowd really thinks the president should get help from Congress before America flexes its muscle in these situations in a timely manner, good luck with that. J. H. Thompson, Ogden, Utah. Tet. If the media had covered the Battle of the Bulge the same way they did Tet, January, they'd have had Americans believing Ike was about to surrender to Alfred Jodl. Al Schumard, Winter Haven, Florida. Alan W. Dowd states that our enemies have become quite skilled in using media and media images to target the American people. I would contend that many of those enemies are and continue to be internal. By objective measure, Tet was a serious military defeat for the North Vietnamese and Viet Cong, VC, yet the offensive was reported in such a manner as to appear a U.S. defeat. Biased reporting emphasized the destruction caused by U.S. firepower at Hue, while ignoring the murders committed by the VC while it controlled the city, unfairly compared Khe Sanh to Dien Bien Phu, and presented it as a doomed outpost, and portrayed the communists as exceptional fighters, and the South Vietnamese as cowardly malingerers, unwilling or incapable of fighting for their country. Joe Spellman, Frederick, Maryland. Thank you for publishing one of the best editorials on Vietnam I have ever read. I was there in 1968 during the Tet Offensive, assigned to the 1st Infantry Division, and I remember sharing the same feelings with my buddies. The political fervor in Washington left us humiliated and with low morale. It was truly out of step with the war. Robert J. Conine, Howell, Michigan. Alan W. Dowd makes the same mistake about Tet that so many military people do. Winning a battle or a war is hard, but it is a defined task with a beginning and an end. To win the peace is much harder, and you never can really declare victory. Winning at war is a technical problem. Winning the peace is a human relationship problem. America is a winner because of who we are, or at least who we try to be. We represent the values of democracy, equality, rule of law, protection of minorities, freedom of religion, compassion, and honesty. To the extent we fail to live up to these values, we cannot expect to be winners when challenged. In 1967 and 1968, the truth was that we'd won every battle, but were losing both the war in Vietnam and our way at home. When a Marine comes home on leave after the battles of Tet, and the taxi driver refuses to pick him up because he is not white, we are not who we claim to be. Tet exposed our own failings. Michael E. McGinley, Washougal, Washington. What lost the war for us was playing it in every living room across the country every night. Mothers couldn't take it, and it followed that politicians couldn't take it either. Two big presidents, more interested in advancing their political goals, combined to give Ho Chi Minh what he expected from the start, a nation not committed to war. We all know Vietnam was a mistake. We will probably see in the near future that Iraq and Afghanistan are also mistakes. We stayed out of the Mideast forever and a day, but when Russia collapsed and the Cold War ended, we stuck our nose in. If we get drawn into North Korea or Iran, you'll see how soon we forget Iraq and Afghanistan. Jim Kreese, Sayre, Pennsylvania. Single-payer health care. I found it interesting that Senator Bernie Sanders uses the words of Abraham Lincoln in arguing for a single-payer health care system, big issues January. When you consider that roughly 1% of the population served and now sometimes waits months to get appointments, where would we find enough time for the 300 million plus? There is no savings because people would truly abuse the single-payer system. The costs and delays would get even worse, not to mention the intrusions and regulations the government would create. No thanks. I like my doctor, my hospital, and my insurance plan. F.R. Fritz, Phoenix. Veterans and Loan Churn. The article by Tom Philpott about loan churn, Veterans Update, January, rightly states that veterans are constantly solicited with refinancing offers from lenders, but fails to report who the offending lenders are and seems to overlook the obvious solution to the problem. If lenders known to abuse veterans through churn are barred from extending VA loans and from selling loans on the secondary market, they'll clean up their acts. If they cannot play under the limitations set forth, including a demonstrated net benefit to the borrower, a minimum time span between refinance offers and or a maximum recoupment period, they'll have little choice but to fly right. Kenny Holzamer, Anacortes, Washington. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subject to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46206, magazine@legion.org.